for meant to be. So starting at verse 26 through 31, it says, "And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, "Be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And God said, Behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed, which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed. To you it shall be for meat, and to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life. I have given every green herb for meat, and it was so. And God saw everything that he made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day." You may be seated. When I say we are not what we were meant to be, the reason I say that, and after a lot of studying on this, I've come to realize we were not meant to have sin in our lives. Man was not created to have sin in his life. Man was not created for the purpose of having sin in his life. It says here in the Word, in the first chapter of Genesis, it tells us there that man was created in the similitude and the likelihood of God. Created after him. And we know that God has no sin in him. Can we agree with that tonight? We know that he is not a sinner, that there is no sin in him. But yet something happened. If we look at chapter 3, and I want to start in verse 1, and we'll probably read all the way through 24. We might read the whole thing. I don't know. We might paraphrase a lot of it. But it says, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, have God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die." Now there was a strict commandment there from God. He didn't beat around the bush about it. He was very pointed in his message to them. You can have everything else, but don't touch this. And I think it kind of goes along with what the preacher was preaching about this morning when he said, no matter how much we've got, it just ain't enough. We've got to have more. We've got to go after more. We've got to get more. We've got to obtain more. And that's the way that our society has taught us. He said, "And the serpent said unto the woman, You shall not surely die." And that's how the devil creeps in. He comes in and he tries to lie to us. A lot of times we fall for it, as Eve did. "For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat." Now, Adam didn't have to eat just because Eve ate. Alright? And I know women get a bad rap for that. And it's always the woman's fault. And we'll see in a little bit where it gets to that point, right? But for right now, Eve did not have to listen to the serpent. She didn't have to listen. She could have chose to say, "No, God said explicitly, don't eat of this tree. I'm not going to listen to you. Let me go find my husband." Right? Because I want him to kill you. Because you're a snake. Now, normally, I don't know. Maybe there's some women in here that are unlike most women that I've ever come in contact with. But normally when a woman sees a snake, the first thing that she does is go find somebody to kill the snake. She don't sit there and talk with it and socialize with it. Right? But Eve chose to do that. It was her choice and she chose to do so. Adam could have said, listen, woman, you're outside of your mind. God told me not to mess with that tree. I ain't messing with the tree. I don't care what the serpent said. I don't care what you said. God said, don't mess with the tree. I ain't messing with the tree. But he chose to partake of the tree. His choice. So he did eat. And the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. We can see a very normal process that's taking place here. We can see that God told them not to partake of the tree. We can see that the devil enticed them. We can see that they chose to partake of the tree. And we can see that when they realized what they had done, they were ashamed and hid themselves. It's the same process that we go through today. It's no different. We do the same thing. We know God said not to partake of this. The devil tells us, go ahead. We listen to the devil and fall into the trap. Then we're ashamed and try to hide ourselves. We're not what we were meant to be. We were not meant to have sin in our lives. It's very simple. It's not a complicated process. We know that we're not supposed to sin. We know that there are certain things that we shouldn't partake of. We know that there are certain things that we shouldn't look at, we shouldn't touch, we shouldn't handle. But we do it. We fall into it. We're guilty of it. Right? That's no scapegoat to say that it's okay, because sin's not okay. And that's a problem in the church today, is people have gotten confused, and a lot of the confusion has come from the teaching and the preaching that's coming from the pulpit that says, well, we're all going to sin, we might as well. But that's not what it means. It means, yes, you're going to fall into temptation at times. You're going to fail. You're going to make mistakes. That don't mean keep doing it. We're supposed to come out of it. We're supposed to be separate. Isn't that not what the Word says? Be ye separate. Come out from among the world. Yes, you're in the world, but that doesn't mean you have to be a partaker of the world. You don't have to do the worldly things, because we weren't meant for that. That's not what God created us for. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And God knew where he was. He just wanted him to answer him. And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden and was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. And he said, who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? Now here's where condemnation comes in. Right? And the man said, the woman whom thou gavest to me, she gave me of the tree to eat. Now here comes the finger pointing part, right? Right off the bat. That woman? She did it. And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me and I did eat. Everybody's pointing blame. Right? And that's what we get when conviction sets in. We start looking for somebody else to blame. Somebody else to point the finger at and say, well, I wouldn't have done it if, you know, I thought that it was all right because so-and-so did it, or I thought that it was okay because this one did it. Or, you know, you're the one that allowed the devil to do this to me. I don't understand why you're upset with me. See, everybody wants to point the blame at somebody. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and shall bruise thy head, and shalt bruise his heel. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception in sorrow. Thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake, in sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall I bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face thou shalt eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it was thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. Now I heard a man say one time that she was called Eve because it's short for evil. But I'm not going to go there. I don't agree with that saying. I think women are a blessing from God because God created her for man. Amen. Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. And the Lord God said, behold, the man has become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. What we are right now is not what we were meant to be. It was meant to be much easier for us, church. But Adam and Eve, man and woman, was deceived by the devil. Now, it would be easy, church. It would be extremely easy for us to look back and say, well, if it had been me, I'd have done things differently. But would we have? Take an inventory of your life and look at the mistakes that you have made in your life. Just as since you have been a Christian, I'm not talking about going back to when you were a sinner. I'm talking about just since you have been a Christian. Look at the mistakes. Look at the failures that you have had in your life. I'm not wanting you to dwell on those things and be miserable tonight, but I'm saying that to make a point. None of us are above sin. All right? Because of their mistake, sin has been prevalent in the life of man since then. God has tried. He's made ways out for them. He's sent warning after warning. He's made way after way of escape. He sent the flood to destroy the land because of the wickedness and the evilness. He destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah because of the wickedness and the evilness. So many times that he sent a way to make a difference. But they didn't take it. Every time that he destroys because of the wicked and the evilness of man, they'll just get right back into it. And that's not what we're meant to be. We're not meant to be sinners. We're meant to be in the similitude and the likelihood of God. We're supposed to be like him. We're supposed to walk like him. We're supposed to talk like him. We're supposed to act like him. We can't do that if we got sin in our life. Because sin is the contrary of God. It's not part of him. It's not an attribute of him. Love, peace, gentleness, kindness, righteousness, those are attributes of God. And those are the things that we're supposed to be desiring and the things that we're supposed to be walking after. Now sometimes we become not who we were meant to be because of somebody else's mistake. Sometimes it's because of somebody forced something on us. You say, that can't be. Well, let's take a look at something for a minute. Let's look at the life of Joseph. Joseph didn't choose to be sold into slavery. Joseph didn't choose to be sold to Potiphar. Joseph didn't choose to be cast into prison. But these things happened as a part of his life. But it was a part of a plan to make him who he was in the end. But in all those things that Joseph went through, he didn't change his perspective. He didn't change who he was. He kept sight of God. Now, don't you think, in those circumstances, in those situations, it would have been easy for Joseph to say, you know, I'm done with this God thing. Man, it don't matter how hard I try to do right, no matter how hard I try to do good, it seems like everything always falls apart on me. Well, that's just a part of life. Things happen. But he chose to have a positive outlook. Even though he wasn't what he was meant to be. He wasn't where he was meant to be. But he still kept a positive outlook. And we can keep a positive outlook. Right? Even though, you know, we're not what we were meant to be from the beginning. We know that because Adam and Eve sinned, that sin has entered into the world. Can we agree with that tonight? Because I want to read it to you in a little bit. I want to make sure we're on the same sheet of music here. But sometimes, and more often than not, we're not who we were meant to be because of what we've done. And because of the mistakes that we've made. And because of the failures that we have accumulated. Right? And the thing is, that there comes a time in our life when we have to take responsibility. Right? Remember, I preached not too long ago, it was easy for me growing up to point at everybody around me and say, well, it's their fault I drink the way I do. It's their fault that I'm addicted to drugs. It's their fault that I'm like this. It's because of where I grew up at. It's because of this. It's because of that. No, it's because I chose to do it. And there came a time where I reached the age of accountability. And I still continue to do those things. But then there came a time that God spoke to my heart. And he said, this is not what you were meant to be. Thank you, Jesus. This is not who I meant for you to be. This is not the life that I meant for you. The life that I meant for you is ahead. But you're going to have to accept me before I can give you that life. And I chose to accept him that day. And I made him a part of my life. And he's entered my life, and man, he was so true. He changed everything. He made things so much better. Yes, I faced obstacles. Yes, I faced problems in my life. And yes, there's been great barriers in my life. But oh, the blessings outweigh the problems. The blessings outweigh the circumstances and the situations that I've faced. The things that he has done for me cannot be spoken with words. I've said it before. It's better felt than told. Praise God. In 2 Peter 3 and 9, it says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. There's a lot of people in this world that aren't what God meant them to be. It says right here, it's not his will that any should perish. It's not his will that any should have sin in their life. But his will is that all would come to repentance. Everybody. Right? Now, we're bad. Our human side takes effect sometimes, and we like to pick and choose who can and who can't be saved. But when you're saying this person can't be saved, you're not making light of them, you're making light of God. You're saying God can't save this person. And I'm telling you right now, there's not anybody that God can't save. There's people that don't want to be saved. But there's nobody that God can't save. He can save anybody. You just have to want to. In James 1, verses 13 through 21. It says, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. When we read this scripture, it tells us point blank. We can't point at other people and say, they're the reason I sinned. It tells us. It's our responsibility. Let me read it to you again, because I don't want to mess this up. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of whose lust? Come on, say it loud. His own lust and enticed. See, it's easy for Eve to say the serpent enticed her, and that's why she did it. And it was easy for Adam to say the woman enticed him, and that's why he did it. But the truth of the matter is, they did it of their own lust. They did it because it was something that they could not have that they wished to obtain. And that's what lust is. Something you can't have but you wish to obtain. And when you conceive that, that bringeth forth sin. And ain't nobody's fault but our own. Right? So when we find sin in our life, when we've committed sin in our life, we know by the Word of God, by the instruction of the Word of God, that it was done of ourselves. So when we're not what we were meant to be, it's because we chose not to be what we were meant to be. Boy, I ain't getting many amens on that. But it's the truth. It's of our choice. And I don't know how many times I can preach this, but it's our own choice. It's not somebody else's choice. You can't make me sin. You can entice me. You can set sin in front of me. You can ask me to sin, but you can't make me sin. My family, the devil can't make me sin. Yes, he can entice me. Yes, he can set sinful things in front of me. Yes, he can put desires in front of me. But if I sin, it's because I've done what? I chose to sin. I committed the sin. Not the devil, not my family, not my friends. I did it. And we can't sit around all the time pointing the blame at everybody else and saying, well, if they live right, I'd live right. Well, I got news for you. If you're measuring yourself against somebody, you're on a fast track to hell anyway. Because you need to measure yourself towards the Word of God and what the standards are that are set before us. Work out your own salvation in fear and trembling. In Romans, the 5th chapter, verses 12 through 19, now we're going to get to the good part. I know I've been a little rough tonight, but now we're going to get to the good part for you. Romans 5, 12 through 19. It says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world. But sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned over Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgressions, who is the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, but much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, have abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is to many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of the righteous shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. Now listen to this. Even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be righteous, be made righteous. The good news tonight is, even though Adam sinned and caused sin to come into the world, even though he messed up, and even though we became what we were not meant to be, the good news is Jesus saw that we were not what we were meant to be, and he said, I'll go, to give them the opportunity to be what they were meant to be. I'll go so that they'll have the opportunity to be free of sin once again. So that my blood can be washed upon them and they can be cleansed of all their sin and all their unrighteousness. He chose to do that for us. Now I've told you that there's been opportunity after opportunity, there's been warning after warning, all through time, all through the Bible. It tells of these things that have happened. I'm telling you that those days of warnings and opportunities are over. The next thing is going to be a judgment. It's going to be a judgment. It's going to be cast upon all the world. And everybody's going to stand before that judgment. And I'm telling you, by the grace and the knowledge and the understanding of God's Word, I'm telling you tonight that if we have sin in our lives, we're not who we're meant to be. And we will be cast out. But here's the good news. If we have been washed by the precious blood of Jesus, we're who we were meant to be. We were back to where it started out to be, sin-free. Amen. Ain't that good tonight? That you can stand before God on the day of judgment and have Him say the words, you're sin-free. You're who you're meant to be. You're what I started out for you to be. Yes, you may have made mistakes along the way. Yes, there may have been sin in your life along the way. But all I see right now is that you're who you were meant to be. Because all I can see is my Son's blood. Praise God tonight that we have that blessed hope, that we have that blessed opportunity, that we don't have to leave this world, we don't have to live in this world with the destruction, with the guilt, and with the shame of sin, because we have a way out. So tonight I say to you, you can be who you were meant to be, but it's your choice. May God bless you and keep you is our prayer.